Talk live with Psychics Online now for one-on-one personal readings. Welcome to Stars Psychics, a community of gifted psychic readers offering live psychic readings through our private chat rooms. Want to know about your love life? What about your career and wealth? Hear from loved ones and more. Our network of channelers, tarot card readers, clairvoyants, spiritual advisors, and clairaudience can assist in answering your questions and guide you to a new level of spiritual career. Online psychic readings are a great way to find out answers you've always wanted to know from a psychic in the privacy and comfort of your home. Go to www.starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Now click on the new one-on-one button and start talking to a psychic today.
Well, good evening. This is Natalie, also known as Starscast. I'm here with Stars Maya Moon. Our stars, Nicole, could not make it tonight, so it's going to be the two of us talking away like we usually do, and we usually can. Anyways, our subject tonight is supposed to be, or is going to be, how to reconnect to our own selves. This is interesting, you know, and I really would like to read what Maya wrote, because she did the topic, and it says here, as we move through our fast-paced life, whether we are focusing on career, family, or socializing in hopes of meeting a life partner, we often go a lifetime without truly knowing our own self. In everything we do, and most especially in relating to others in all types of relationships, quite often, the key to success lies in learning to know and love self. Whether a difficult childhood or challenge as adults, many of us forget the importance of our true identity and coming to terms and acceptance of who we are. So tonight we will be discussing how to reconnect to our own selves and form a bond and inner relationship that can significantly impact all areas of our life, and how a strong bond or being best friends with our own self brings us to a level of the highest awareness, therefore assisting us in attracting those that can enrich our lives. What a topic, and such beautifully written, I feel. And I told you this before, Maya. This is just, you do such a great job doing all of these. How do we get started with this? I mean, this is this is not really a new thing. I think we. A lot of times, or most times, I think we don't put ourselves first. We sacrifice our own selves to do something, like, you know, making a decision to do something. Oh, I really don't want to do this, but I'll do it anyways. That kind of thing. Is that what we're talking about tonight, Maya?
Well, it is in part, and I'm sorry if I have dogs and they're usually quiet, but somebody had come to the door. I don't know if anyone heard the barking, but I really try for that not to happen. I want to welcome everyone to the show, all of our listeners. I mean, in part, it would be that doing that, making sacrifices. I think that is maybe not exactly what I'm thinking of when I'm saying knowing ourselves, is that often we start to become defined. It can begin in childhood. And so we start defining ourselves by our experiences rather than our true spiritual self. And so, or situations that occur as adults are the same thing. So, just as an example, you might say, well, I know I like the color blue, and I know this and that. But to a point, what you're saying, yes, Natalie, it's true. And that would be where, if we don't know our true self, and that means where we stand on moral issues, where we stand, you know, where our boundaries are, being able to love ourselves, being able to say, you know, I made these mistakes or this happened to me, but that doesn't make me a bad person, you know, all that, blending that together and then being able to go forward. And that is, like, the way I would see it is, so you might know some of your physical characteristics, but you don't really know your true self. And if you don't know your true self, then we tend to either absorb other people, and that's how we get into attachments, or we get into, like what you said, where we give or make sacrifices, where we're actually sacrificing ourselves, or we obsess over things. I mean, there's a lot of branches, if you will, that can be grown from this seed that we have not really connected with our truest, highest self. And everything is based on pretty much how we feel. At least that's what my guides teach, and how we see life. And then if we step back and we look at the people we're surrounded by, the relationships, work, career, all that, regardless of whether you work at a fast food place or you're a CEO, it doesn't matter. How you relate to that, how that fulfills you, how you see yourself. So it's a complicated thing, and I will just bring up my voice. I think it sounds okay, but I'm sure all of us have had tooth issues. Well, we're just coming out of Mercury being retrograde and going direct, and this my guides told me this one was a little bit different, but I'm feeling a lot of cyclonic energy. And so this tooth thing just came up, and I didn't have time to get, wasn't able to get into anyone today. So what we may do, Natalie, I may need to just let you know, and we may shorten the hour, but this is such a really good, strong topic that I would love that, you know, we be sure to pick it up again next week, if that's okay with you.
Oh, that's perfectly fine. Yeah, perfectly fine. My voice is always raspy at this time of the year. But, you know, you were talking, and I was thinking, you know, when I was a little girl, I mean probably 6, 7, 8 years old now, I remember spending a lot of time alone. Both of my parents worked. There was a family across the street. The little girl was just a little bit older than me, and her brother was younger than us. But, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, being alone like that, it must have affected me somehow. Even though I had guidance from, her name is Linda, Linda's mother, being alone, I mean, I read a lot, I listened to music, I was just self-contained. It was amazing. It didn't really bother me. But I'm wondering if something like that, long-term or down the road, affected me in some way. Do you think that's possible?
And it did, absolutely. And that's a great real life and true example, because if you take, it's a mixture of spirituality, which is our spiritual center and core, and then we have the psychological view, and they're both in some respects they're both close enough in proximity of what they see it that we can do some blending, and so that ultimately everything comes from my guides, but I am gonna inject a little bit of psychology. Okay, from infancy on into childhood, our first experiences with self are those from infancy, I mean, even during our spiritual conscious carries memories that are ancient memories from past lives, and again, these are just my beliefs, what I'm taught, but hopefully, you know, it resonates with some of the folks out there. So in your situation, in your case, you were not given, it's like having something bounced back from us. If we look in the mirror, and the mirror was always blank because it was a faulty mirror, and we never got to see, or people that might be challenged and aren't able to, I mean, I know they can overcome that challenge and lead a fulfilling life, but it would be like looking in the mirror and not being able to see your reflection. And, you know, we need something to bounce that off of. So as we're growing up, a lot of how we discover who we are is through our parents. And it's important that we have both genders. And that's not a gender, that has nothing to do with, I'm not politicizing or putting an opinion on homosexuality and raising children, because I believe that they can, you know, give the feminine and masculine traits. So we need to feel the feeling of the family. And there's single parents out there that can do the job too. But there has to be something. And when there's just nothing, there's definitely spiritual problems, because that's where we first learn how who we are is by bouncing off. You know, we act out emotionally or we act out behaviorally, and then we react, you know, our parents or our parent or our caretaker or grandmother or aunt, whoever, reacts to that. And so slowly we learn and build up who we are. And some of that is good. Some of it we later have to say, well, that's not really who I am. That's who they wanted me to be. But I think in your case, and it happens a lot, especially in career-oriented people with children who just aren't, you know, they may be financially well off, but they don't invest a lot of time. There is a lack of something. So there has to be human interaction. It's imperative to our spiritual self-awareness and to our psychological, which those do work hand in hand. So, you know, you didn't really have that, and so you probably went from that relationship where you probably tried to seek out and tried, you know, like you said, the neighbor, so maybe you got something from that, or from reading. A lot of people will, like you mentioned, reading. They'll read and they'll fantasize and almost become the characters they read, and that's why they enjoy reading.
Exactly. I do that today. I can do that today easily. I can put myself in a daydream state, like meditating, and I'm actually interacting with different people. I mean, it's real easy. But you're right. I think I learned that when I was a little girl.
Right, because you were getting
it. I think that, yeah. And maybe I did with the characters in the books, and I was a good reader. So I had advanced, you know, I was advanced in reading. And so I had the luxury, or you could say maybe some people wouldn't like it, but I loved it. I got to read books that were for older kids. And then I had to do an oral report because I read fast. Well, we've talked about that. And so, but I retained it. So maybe reading helped me. I don't know, but I was alone a lot. It didn't bother me, though. I mean, I didn't feel like it was a bad thing. I mean, it didn't upset me, not then anyhow. But I really think that it had an effect on me as I got older. But, it had to.
Well, it did. But you're saying it didn't bother you. But many of us would say that. I mean, there's people out there that grow up in physically abusive homes, and they don't even realize that there's something wrong until they're adults or teens, because you say that it didn't bother you. All that really means is that you didn't identify with yourself that, you know, I doubt that's the kind of mother that you were.
Oh, no, not at all. I was quite the opposite.
Okay, so something told you that this was not, you know,
cool.
This was not
right.
You had nothing to
compare
it to. And chances are did you move from that relationship immediately into a relationship where there was a controlling person who was very dominant?
You mean from my home?
Yes, like
from my
the parental
parents?
Relationship. Right.
Well, yeah,
like
my husband, he was controlling. I went to him. I mean, well, I didn't. Well, I felt he had a strong personality, but I didn't. Maybe I was looking for a parent. Maybe I was looking for somebody to tell me what to do because nobody told me what to do when I was little. Although
well,
I was a really good kid.
Well, right. And you didn't know what to do because you really didn't have, you never formed your own self-identity. So not strong. I mean, spiritually it was formed and that molded piece of clay was there, but you didn't add all the add-on features. It was just the base model. And so then if you entered into, which is pretty typical, if you would enter into a relationship where there's a very dominant person, they can be a little bit obsessive, perfectionist, controlling, and you find yourself catering your life around that person's needs, wants, and desires.
Exactly.
So you did.
When I look back, that's how it was. And, you know, when I said it didn't bother me, maybe it did. I just didn't know it because how can you compare something to something you don't even know? And, I mean, that family across the street, she taught me how to bake. I got all of her recipes when I got married. See, my mother worked all the time, and my father, of course, and she kind of stepped in to be like my mom. And it was an Italian family, which I'm Italian, and, I mean, they just took me in. The whole family took me in. It was like I was this little vagabond that went everywhere with them. I was just an extension, you know, of the family, which was really great for me because I got to do a lot of things rather than staying at home by myself. Otherwise, I would have been home by myself. Exactly. Well, my parents left before I went to school, and I got home before they got home. So when I got home, it was, you know, I would read, listen to my radio, daydream. I did a lot of that. Imagine. You know, I did a lot of my, it wasn't bad. It was probably very constructive for me. At least the process of it was, and then I found that I really loved to read. So I just read a lot, and the time went by, and that was it. So I really think that if you don't have, like you said, if you can't see two people that are in your family and can't bounce things off, you don't get any feedback and nothing, it's really like they were not even my parents, if you want to think about it that way. Because... Yeah. They weren't around. I raised myself, except for what Tommy, her name was Thomasina, except for what Tommy did for me. How I did it, I have no clue. I really don't. All the other girls had brothers and sisters, you know, in the neighborhood, except for me. I was the only child.
But, and at what age do you remember, like, did you have a caretaker when you were young and came home from school, or did you go to an after-school program?
No, they didn't have after-school programs. I had the key to my house when I was 9 years old, and I let myself in by myself. Now, when I was little, like a tiny baby, my aunt took care of me while my mother went to work. But she moved into the same neighborhood. They lived in an apartment building, and then they both happened to move into the same neighborhood. But basically, when I was in school, I can almost remember walking down the street to somebody's house, but I didn't like it. I didn't like to stay there. I wanted to stay alone because I just felt they weren't equipped, or you don't say that word when you're like 8 years old, but they, I don't think, but I didn't feel like they could give me what I needed. I could get it at home by myself. Does that make sense?
Maybe you just didn't feel welcome.
That could have been too. And I wanted to be in an environment that I felt good. And, of course, in my room with my books and my radio and, TV, and it was not that bad. And then I knew when they would be coming home. And then if I really, like when the weather was really nice, I could go across the street. And then there for a time, I would go over to my friend's house. And when it would be time for me to come home, because my parents weren't home yet, because my mother took buses and my dad worked out way on the east side, I would cross the street and I'd flick the light when I got in the house to let Tommy know that I was okay. That woman was probably, and my mother's probably looking down, that woman was probably more of a mother to me than my mother. My mother, like, well, she really didn't want me. I mean, my aunt told me that many, many years ago. She was pretty upset. But that's besides the point. I was born, and I think I don't even know how I turned out so well. Even my son says that to me. I didn't have birthday parties. We had a Christmas tree, and then all of a sudden, no Christmas tree.
What do you mean all of a sudden, no Christmas tree?
Well, you know, my mother, and I don't know, I hope there's no, you know, Santa. All of a sudden, Santa didn't leave me anything. Nobody explained anything to me. I was never explained to by my parents. And, you know, and my son now says to me, he said, I cannot believe a child would be like that for a child. He says to me, you were so good to me. You were always there for me. I said, well, maybe I saw what I lacked, and I gave it all to you. But, yeah, I don't remember birthday parties, ever having a birthday party, ever. Isn't that sad? Unless I blocked it out, but I don't think so. You don't block out everything up until you're... I got married when I was 19. You don't block them all out all those years. You do have a good memory of things. But, yeah, I don't know. It's really amazing that I turned out so well, I guess. I don't know. Because everybody
well,
says
you
that.
Did,
how, you know.
You did, but you probably, even if you're not aware of it, I mean, this is something that listeners need to pay attention to, because if you're resonating or relating to any of this, then chances are, unless you've faced this within yourself and you've gone through and you've recognized that there's probably some issues and there's probably a disconnection from your higher self, you're going to experience problems in, especially when challenges come, and especially in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of them is last week we had talked about the abusive relationship, and that's certainly an element, either an abusive or a neglectful, which to me, it sounds like the way you were brought up was just, you were more or less neglected or just ignored. I mean, you were like a piece of furniture. You were fed, you were given the right clothes, you had access
right.
to books. You were,
right. I think
you
my
were
father paid
taught.
More attention to me than my mother did. And my grandparents were in another state. I rarely saw them. I mean, so I didn't have them. But my one aunt, I had a pretty good relationship with her. Well, of course, she watched me when I was a baby. But I don't know. It's strange, though, when you think about it, and you really look back and see what other children's lives were and what yours was like, and what are you doing, and look at what I'm doing. So I don't know. You know, it's just, it was strange. I never was upset about it. Not at all. So, and even come, you know, like they would have a meeting like to see the children's grades and stuff, you know, parent teacher conferences. My mother would
right.
go because she wouldn't get home in time. So I didn't get that support either. And I'm just thinking about all that right now, and I don't know. You know, I must have had a real nice angel with me steering me around here. I don't know. Because I was pretty much alone. I mean, yeah, I had food and clothes, and being an only child, you would think that I was spoiled, but I was not at all. And, you know, and then I was attracted to a very strong man, but I didn't know what he was like, really. And then, you know, he was controlling. He was bossy. Yeah, he was. Yeah. Even when my son can remember things, he said, "I don't know how you stayed with him." He says to me, I said, well, then you had nowhere to go. I mean, I didn't work. I had him as a baby, and my parents worked. Where in the world was I going to go? You know, now my mother-in-law was very good to me. She helped me, but that was right after I got married. So I was already 19. And so we got moved back to that area when I was in my 20s. So I think I was probably close to 20. We stayed up at school so he could finish school. And my mother-in-law was just the best to me. Actually, she was, if you want to call a surrogate, that's what she was. And so maybe that was the replacement. I don't know. Maybe that's what I was always looking for. But she treated me better than she treated her own daughter. And her daughter will admit that to this day. She said, "My mother loved you more than she ever loved me."
Oh,
but,
wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But they didn't get along, but that's another story. So I don't know, I guess. So is that why I chose or I was attracted to a man who was so strong?
Well, yes, because you didn't have a complete identity or definition of yourself. So you
okay.
sought someone to fill that. And so that would have to be, you know, it would have to take a strong man, a strong person, so you were
right.
attracted to somebody that, you know, had
right.
that strength. So,
right.
Definitely. And then,
I mean, he was
a
good provider and everything, and once my son was born, of course, you know, it was good. But he always had that upper hand that, you know, you waited to see what he was going to say. I mean, I wasn't afraid of him or anything, and he was Italian also, like I said. And I don't know. It was really, but it's strange because, you know, and I'm going to take back a little bit here, that take you back, but after my husband passed away, my doctor said I should talk to somebody. Well, I got a hold of this lady. She was a therapist, and the first thing she said to me, because she asked a few questions, she says, "We have to find out why you chose a man who could control you," because she asked what he was like. And that's what she said to me. "We need to find out why you were attracted to a man who was with such a strong personality." My mother had a strong personality. And she said, "And you would seek something like that in a man." She says, "There's a reason for it."
Well,
I guess we know the reason.
Did you disagree with that?
With what she said?
Yeah.
No, but I didn't realize it was controlling. I didn't realize that until many years later. I thought that's just what happened in relationship. See, I could never observe a relationship. That's part of it, too, because my parents, you know, he came home late and she was home earlier. And sometimes my dad worked Saturdays. My dad was really sweet to me. My dad was, you know, but I don't know. I don't know, but I guess I turned out okay, so I can't complain. But isn't it strange what happens when we're little?
Yes, I mean, there was a recent show that I watched. I mean, just to show the different comparisons. Whereas we often call that the latchkey kid. Okay, that's
yes.
The person that the kid that came home alone and kind of took care of themselves.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it depends on the circumstances, the other influences. I mean, you did have some positive influences in your life.
Yeah.
But it definitely sounds and feels like your parents were dysfunctional, and that probably did create a lot more issues in your life than you realized, because, like you said, at the time, it just seemed normal.
Right. It didn't affect me that I knew of, anyways. Right, exactly.
Oh.
Exactly.
Well,
it's amazing.
I watched this show where this young man, his attorney came up with this. It is not in the DSM, which is the manual for psychiatric disorders. But he came up with, I'm trying to think of the word. The young man just basically had a sense of entitlement because his parents were wealthy and they spoiled him. Now they gave him not just money, but attention, enabled him in every sense of the word. I mean, gave him just like way too much of everything, money, love, adoration. And so he grew up believing that he was better than everybody else. Not a narcissist, but he ended up in drinking and causing an accident. And the judge got him off because he called it a result of affluency, meaning that because his parents were so affluent and they were so doting on him and so attached to them because they probably had their own issues. So the opposite of your parents. And he ended up going to jail, but getting off of anything too serious because of that. So see, I mean, even people that you would think they should come out perfect, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. But when I hear something like that they've been given everything and they learn to expect that they should have everything, sometimes they're not really nice people. They're waiting for it all to come to them. Well, where's my take on this? You know, and then I guess greed steps in and they don't turn out to be really nice adults. Although, now, like with my son, I was home. I worked at a nursing home, believe it or not. I worked at tennis clubs, but in between I worked at a nursing home. And I always made sure I was home when he got home from school, always. He never came home to an empty house. That, and and I didn't blame that on my life as a child. It was just how I felt. You know, it was just one of these things that I felt that somebody would say, well, what do you do with your son? And I said, well, I'm home. I'm looking out the window watching him come up the path. I said, I was always home for him. I made sure I was. But then, when he went to high school, it was a longer day. And then when he went to college, of course. But isn't that strange how I did things for him when I didn't even learn them from when I was a little girl?
Right.
Maybe I had intelligence. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe I just had the intelligence to figure it out. I don't know. But he's a very giving soul. He's like me. And his dad was giving, too. His dad would, but his dad was brilliant. His mind was brilliant. You know, he could read something and be able to teach you what he read. Even if he didn't know what it was, he could teach you. He was a natural teacher. But like my son, he does things sometimes, and he laughs. He says, God, I'm so much like you, it's unreal. But it's not a bad thing. It's really not a bad thing. So I should feel fortunate that I turned out as good as I did.
Yes, because you could have gone, I mean, like you chose kind of, you probably, I would say probably the issues, I mean, like you were a good parent, and you probably somehow spiritually recognized that the way that you were raised was not the correct way, and you did have enough of outside influences, caretakers like the one aunt and the neighbor,
yes,
that were able to show you, and so you got a little bit, and then spiritually we always have, I mean, we have to think of it as we all have that, like if we want to look at it as Play-Doh or clay, we have it there, we can access it, we can shape it and mold it, we can get to know it and connect with it. And so, and many parents humans who become parents will actually relive, and sometimes it's healthy, sometimes it's not so healthy. It feels and sounds like in your case it was definitely healthy, but what they will do is relive the childhood that they should have had or that they feel they deserved or what they would interpret as normal, they will then live through raising their child, which can be, it, like in your case, I feel that that's what you did, and you did it without knowing. Now, more than likely, like in your case, and for many people listening, if they're identifying with early years and early relationships, and it's later in life for them, they may find that the trouble or some of the disconnect or some of the issues that arise from that dysfunction that occurred in the beginning doesn't even happen until much later in life.
Right.
So you probably are struggling more now because of what happened to you X amount of years ago than you did. I mean, while you were married, you may not have realized, but he probably... you know, that counselor was right. You probably weren't ready to hear that at that time, but that was a true statement. And, you know, I mean, I believe counseling can help, but I believe spiritual has to come first. I mean, that's just the way that I believe. And,
yeah.
And that, you know, so I don't believe in some of the ways that they go out. And at the time, you were there seeking a different purpose. But that person was actually... It sounds like they were probably very correct. And a lot of times in those types of relationships, it's also a teaching relationship. So even though that you might have been seeking that parental energy and you may have absorbed things because you didn't really, your identity was like, I would say that your identity or your awareness of your identity or your connection to your identity was very, very thin or very, very fragile. And then as you married and spent time with your husband and became a mother, even though there was the controlling, maybe possessive, maybe wanting to know your whereabouts. It just depends. It can have a lot of facets. But it probably also offered a lot of teaching. He probably, gave you credit, taught you a lot of things that made
yep.
you feel independent or feel good.
You're right. He taught me how to use my first computer, which was an Apple. Well, it wasn't an Apple. Yes, it was an Apple. And, you know, I could really type, and, you know, he could not. But being the teacher, all he had to do was read, and he knew how to teach me. And he taught me not to be afraid of the computer at all, and I never have been, never. So, yeah, he taught me that. But you're right. I think a lot of it stemmed from when I was very little. And I can remember when my mother had a day off. I was always so happy because I could go home for lunch. I just loved it. But that was rare. That was only on she worked for an insurance company, so it was only like on a major holiday or something when I still had to go to school or something like that. And it's amazing what happens when we're little and we don't realize it until we talk about it.
Right, right. That's why our childhood, you know, for those that are struggling, and again, I mean, if you look at the core of your life, bad things happen to good people. And it's like, okay, winning the lottery or being the recipient of a miracle, you know, my guides believe that we're all equal in that potential. First, we have to believe, but we have to have self-awareness and self-love to achieve those external things, because if we can't love ourselves and we can't honor and respect ourselves in spite of or despite whatever our mistakes are, whatever our upbringing, I mean, all that has to come together, and we have to be in harmony and balance and alignment with ourselves. And many people they go almost their entire life, which it sounds like you went through a great majority of your life, never actually understanding the full impact and influence that your particular upbringing had on you. And a lot
right.
of us are different. So a lot of people will have to go back to the beginning. And by that, I don't necessarily mean relive the past, or I'm not a big, huge fan of the counseling where they want to go through every experience and, you know, it's like 5 years of counseling. I mean, I think counseling is just a tool, you know, for a few months or something. But we can do that ourselves. We can connect the dots.
Oh, we can have great friends like you who can do it.
Right.
All I got to do is talk to you.
Go to start. That starts with a Z. And there's many experts. And really, spiritually,
yeah.
I mean, and I'm not saying it because I'm doing that. I'm saying it. I actually am qualified in both directions. So I'm saying it because I truly believe that it's the true way. And I believe that spiritually comes before anything. And within that spirituality that we need to connect to is our belief and faith in divine, which for me that's God, in some creator or source. It's not vital or essential or important that you believe in the God that I believe in. But what is essential to our spiritual being, which goes with our awareness, our self-love, respect, identity, all that is, there has to be a belief that there is something out there, there's a reason that there's a creator, there's a source, however you recognize it, it has to be recognized. Because otherwise, how would you explain what is the point? And so,
exactly.
There has to be some type of connection or belief, or those people are going to be very external and they're not going to be able to love themselves. And without self-love, we can never truly love another person without loving ourselves. We can never really respect or receive respect if we don't respect ourselves, because we can be arrogant and we can be domineering. And I'm not saying that your husband didn't respect himself, because I feel that he actually did. and he just had some over-the-top traits that you needed for whatever reason, or, you know, that was part of your soul contract. But for many people, what they're doing is they're replacing that true awareness and that true connection of spirit with external things like arrogance or pride or prejudice or ego, and not the ego as in the external self, but the ego slash pride slash envy and greed. And so our spiritual self then, if we know our spiritual self, then we have a light. So it's like a moth is drawn to that light. And those that don't are going to find that they're constantly stumbling. And another thing that usually will happen at some point, again, sometimes it can be 10, 20, 30 years or even longer after the incidents occurred, but they can find that every time they are engaging with someone or they have interactions other than maybe with their closest friends or their family or children or spouse if they have one, something like that, is that they're constantly feeling that they're either misconceived or their intentions are misread or that they're misunderstood. That, I'm telling you right now, that is probably the biggest red flag that you, not you personally, Natalie, but to the general listeners, that you do not know your true self. You have not made that connection or you have not made it strong enough, is when you are constantly either feeling that people are perceiving you in a negative way or people are treating you as in a way that you don't mean, you know. Why does everybody think that I'm this or this or this? Or,
oh, yeah,
you know,
I don't feel that at all.
No.
So,
no, you
not at all.
Feel that.
No. No. Mm-mm. No, I'm probably more loved, more admired than I ever was in my whole life, as far as being when I was a little girl. And I was, when you were talking, I was thinking, do you think that maybe spiritually I was kind of protected in my own? I didn't really think that I had an angel with me, but I didn't ever think that, oh, God, something could happen to me. I'm all by myself. I never worried, never. I just went ahead, did my homework, whatever, and read and, you know, did the things that a little girl would do. I would watch TV, you know, I'd make myself something to eat. It's just, I just went on as if I was living there all by myself. Basically, I was a lot of time. A lot of times I was by myself.
I mean, if you look at it, Natalie, I mean, you have a spiritual sight. So I think it would be, I mean, it would be very hard for me to accept or believe that you didn't have spiritual guidance, whether you were aware of it.
I had to have had it. I had to have had it. Or I would have turned out to be a real monster, I think.
I think so, too. I think that you would have.
Yeah, I think I would have been, like,
alcoholic.
You know, just not a nice person, because I'd be thrashing out because I'd see what I missed. And I didn't even faze me.
Well,
so, yeah.
And there's a movie that I'd want to recommend because it actually, it's a little bit of a disturbing movie, and it's not a movie for children. They probably wouldn't get it. Not that it really shows anything. I mean, it has a couple questionable scenes, but I wouldn't recommend anything that was, you know, I mean,
right,
to adults. But it's called We Need to Talk About Kevin. I don't know if you've seen
I've
that movie.
I've never seen it. No.
It's been a few years that it's been released, and it won quite a few from the Independent Awards. And it's you know, I don't want to give too much away, but it's a chilling movie, and it's very well acted and receives very very good ratings and reviews from the top critics. But it is acknowledging or enhancing or focusing on a relationship between a family and the son, Kevin. And mostly the relationship of the mother and the son. But you have to watch it to see. But what it does is it really throws in our face how we can be as people and how we don't always think about maybe our actions and the implications that those are going to have, and that we were our intention. So, like what I would say with your parents is, more than likely, they did the best. I mean, then we go back to the way they were raised, because they probably did the best they could, and they thought, well, we're providing for her. But yeah, you had angelic intervention for sure. And then your husband, even though he was controlling, he did teach you, you because you were a very absorbent then, you did absorb some of his ability to be strong in the face of whatever, because you have to have a lot of strength and courage to be able to be a business owner and take the risks that come with that.
Right, right.
So
exactly.
I would say that probably you would struggle with more with personal relationships than you would in other ways. So your husband did give you a lot. He did provide a lot.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, you're right.
So, so if we go back to what that counselor said, that's important, but it's also important to me to say, okay, but what did I get out of that? Because other than I know you have a son, and that would be that's always a blessing. Children are blessings. But the fact that that's very disturbing, you know, you said that your aunt told you. Now, see, what I would say to that is, why would someone tell you that? What purpose is served by you knowing?
Exactly. So, as I recall now, of course, my mother had passed since then. We were talking about my mother and as a child, and my mother always wanted to succeed because she was the oldest of 10. She was determined that she was going to be able to make enough money to have the things she wanted. And that's when my aunt turned it to say, you know, she really wasn't happy when she knew she was pregnant with you. And so I think we were just, and I was older. I mean, I don't even, my parents died less than 5 months apart of each other. So, I dealt with that very well. I've talked to my son about that. It's amazing. I don't even think I really cried for them. Isn't that strange?
There wasn't much to cry for because, I mean, they really were very, I mean, you know, children, I mean, they did studies with monkeys. And monkeys would literally perish without human interaction. I mean, you got the minimal, so you didn't. Thank God, you didn't turn out with something like attachment disorder, which is a serious childhood psychological disorder that can manifest into sociopath. And you turned out, I mean, just amazing. But I do feel that having a child for you, so you were different. So I don't think, I really don't feel it was so much that your mom didn't want you. It's that she...
Well, I was an inconvenience because she knew my aunt would take care of me. So it was just, you know, it was just the way she was. She was a super strong woman, super strong.
Right. And your mom, it feels to me, probably being the oldest of 10, every time another one came, she got less.
Yeah, in fact, she didn't even get to. She started high school, and then they took her out so she could go to work.
Right, to help support
the family.
And
that's what they did then. Yeah, that's what they did then.
I can almost hear them saying to her, "Well, we can't give you this because what about little Bobby and little Betty?" And you know, I mean,
because there were nine others, or how many others when she was that age?
I'm sure that it was said to her more times than she could handle, probably.
Right.
And she probably didn't even realize what drove her to the point of almost abandoning her own child. A year older, you understand. So, see, that's what she imparted on you. So if you follow the generations, which is important because we do, that childhood, that gets passed out. So if you look at the way that your mother was raised,
right,
and were you that was who you would have, you know, mimicked or who you would have been like, then you can see where she like the Christmas tree thing. I mean, that is kind of a horrid thing to do,
yeah.
to just not
oh, yeah.
say anything.
Or even, you know, yeah, and it was just like I wasn't treated like a child, like a little girl, like I should
because
have, you know. It's funny,
right.
and I think I've talked about this. You know, I didn't get these wooden dolls. My friend Linda had a wooden doll that her mother made clothes for. Well, I never got one. But, you know, what I do is I collect Monster High dolls. I think I've said that. And my son kind of laughed. He looked at me and he said, well, I kind of can figure that out, Mom. And I said, what? He said, well, you always told me you never had a wooden doll, and these are wooden dolls.
What are you
but
collecting?
But I'm drawn to them. Huh?
What do you collect?
Monster High. They're called Monster High. They are dolls, but I get the ones that have the beautiful faces. They have beautiful
okay.
faces. And one of them is like the daughter of the boogeyman, but she's beautiful. And then one of them is the daughter of Sleeping Beauty. And the other one is a daughter of the dark fairy. But they're all beautiful. All beautiful.
Hmm.
And I love them. I wish I had a lot of money. I'd probably have a ton of them. I mean, my granddaughter's got them, and boy, she comes over and she says, okay, way to go, Gram. She thinks they're so cool. My Grammy collects. My son and I were laughing in the store. He says, and what did you get your mother for Christmas? I got her a Monster High doll. But I mean, I get a lot of satisfaction looking at them. And I think that's from when I was little that I didn't get. I mean, I didn't throw tantrums or anything. I just always, maybe it hurt, more of a hurt feeling everybody said, well, you know, you were the only child, you should have got everything you wanted, but I didn't.
I mean, it was deprivation, and what your mother was playing out, rather than you played out with your son, what you did is you, and I don't mean this in a dysfunctional way, and I'm not trying
no.
to analyze you, but okay, what you did with your son is you portrayed into him in a positive way that little Natalie and that young girl, and you identified with the feelings that you had, whether you recognized them at the time or not, and therefore you made sure that you were always there. It was a priority, even though you worked, to be home for him, to be supportive, to find
right.
out what his needs were. You know, did
right.
he like trucks? He was getting a truck. Did he like Barbie dolls? Then he would have got a Barbie doll.
Right.
And to help him. And so he probably overindulges his daughter, which is okay.
He does. He does.
Okay.
He treats her like he was treated, actually. Yeah.
Right. Well, with your mom, what she did is she took the opposite road. She took the road of, well, I didn't get, you know, anything. Nobody cared.
That's what she learned. It was a learned thing then, right?
Well, it was a learned thing, but it was a spiritual disconnection with our higher self, because our higher self is always of the light and of the positive and good. So
yeah.
she had disconnected from that because her parents forced on her to understand and accept things that were not fair. So when she had a child, she took on that rather than project that onto you and say, I'm going to make sure that my daughter, I only have one, she never has that burden, she has what she needs. She may have met your needs minimally, but she also did almost want to say it, the insidious. I don't know, maybe that's just my new word of the week. But, I mean, the feeling of just the absence of birthday parties, and something that you wanted that it feels like could have easily been afforded was
right.
ignored. I mean, those to me feel like it was more a question of she was going to gain something, even though she wasn't aware probably of this all going on. But she was going to somehow gain her revenge by becoming successful, and by withholding from you, it was like she was paying back her parents.
Yeah, for her childhood.
Right, which that doesn't work, obviously.
No,
and
you
are
didn't work. And it didn't work.
No.
It didn't work.
No.
So I had an angelic presence in my life that was talking to me while I was sleeping. Don't you pay any attention to this.
Well, and luckily, you know, I mean, and people that are listening too. I mean, you know, when you get involved in addiction, a counselor or anyone would say the same thing. There's always something underlying, you know, and an addict is defined by when they are without their substance, because we can all justify why we do something when we do it. It's when we don't have that vice, whatever it may be, that if everything goes, you know, in a bad direction, then, and almost always addiction is a form of self-feeding or self-gratifying, self-giving, and it's just a way of trying to fix that broken part, that part of ourselves that is broken, but we're going about it in a way that just is not, it's not obviously.
It's not good for self. It's not good for you.
And I know we're about ready to end, but I really would like, if it's okay, to revisit this, because I think there's a lot more we can talk about here.
Sure, we can. And we don't have to talk too much about my life, but I'm sure it's helping. It would help the listeners to know, and to know that it really didn't have, I mean, it had an effect on me, but somehow I pulled out of it. I don't know. I'm still absorbing to this day. I still am like a sponge. And so I got that from when I was a little girl, I guess. You know, I almost trained myself because I didn't have anybody else to follow. You know, I got some guidance, but I didn't get, you know, 24/7. I really didn't. But yeah, but, you know, it wasn't. It's okay. I mean, I turned out pretty good. I guess.
You did.
I mean, I seem to be pretty good. And I'm loved from people all over the world. So I don't, I don't blame them, and I don't say that. But sometimes when somebody brings it up, I'll tell them about how my life was, and they can't believe it. They really can't believe
right.
it. But anyways, we're going to do this again next week, 8 to 9 p.m.
We are, because I feel that there's more we want to visit, and I appreciate, too, you sharing your story, not just for the listeners, but because my tooth is killing me, and I know that I'll be able
I know.
To
you
add.
You need to get off, yes, and you managed just fine tonight, and we did. We knew we would. But anyways, okay, we'll say our goodbyes. Okay. Thank you, Candy. She's in the chat room, and she... You know, she put a note here, Natalie working at a nursing home, no surprise. No, I'm such the caregiver. I'm such the care. I wanted to be a nurse, but nobody guided me. Nobody, my doctor finally said, you could have been a doctor, Natalie. He said, you know, you just have it. But I didn't get guidance from my parents. You know, I just didn't. So, but I'm taking care of everybody on the site. And all of those that I can, that I touch, and that's, you know, that's the way I am. And thank you, Maya Moon. You're always so wonderful.
Thank you.
It's a My wonderful thing
you.
With you always. I love you dearly. I love Candy. She does a lot of good things. And hopefully this time next week I can say the new design is up. We are really working hard at it. You know, you hit some snags when you do something brand new. Even though it's the same site, it's going to be different, and you got to test everything, and it's just a big process. But anyways, we will do that. So with that, and I guess that's your goodbye. Maya, you want to say another goodbye? Or?
Yeah, just goodbye to everyone. You have a good evening, and watch out for teeth problems.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, love you guys. Bye-bye.
I love you. Bye.